It is a wonderful turnout today, so I'm very happy to be here to speak about the role of Presidium officers. How many of you are officers in your Presidium? Anybody not an officer? Okay, good. I was hoping that we would actually have some people here who are not yet officers, because everybody, of course, is a potential officer. Even if you're a regular member at this time, hopefully pretty soon you will be a Presidium officer, and hopefully eventually a president. As you know, you should not only consider offering yourself as an officer, but every office, you should try to learn about the other offices, because hopefully, even if you're a treasurer right now or secretary now, you are a future president. So one of our goals is to train future presidents of Presidium and even the Curium. Now, one of the things you should keep in mind is that if you're an officer, you get more grace than the regular members. Did you know that? Does anybody here need more grace? Okay, Father Zuberbühler needs a lot of grace, he says. Spiritual directors need extra grace, okay? And some more so than others. But it's a basic principle. St. Thomas Aquinas says that God will give you grace in proportion to the office that you have in the church. For example, the Holy Father receives a tremendous amount of grace as the shepherd of the universal church. Bishops receive extra graces, priests, and the same thing would go for officers of the legion. That once you take a position, an officership, whether it be secretary, treasurer, vice president, president, you will get grace proportionate to that office. So if you want more grace, then be willing to undertake an office. And if you want extra grace, be willing to be president or vice president of the Presidium or even of the Curia. One lesson that my dad and my mom told me years ago when they first joined the Legion, my dad's been in the Legion over 40 years, maybe about 45 years, and that lesson was never to say no to Our Lady. And whenever Our Lady asked him to do something through the Legion, whether it be to become an officer, or to do extension, or to go on PPC, he never said no. And I think that's an important lesson for all of us. Just never say no to Our Lady. Let me go through a couple principles about officership. One is that the officers need to work as a team. Now, how many officers are there in a Presidium?
Four.
No.
Five.
Very good, five. Who do we always leave out? Spiritual director is the thumb of the Presidium. Okay. You have president, vice president, secretary, and the pinky is the treasurer. Okay, this is the pinky right here. The treasurer, he is here. Secretary is here. Vice president and president. The spiritual director is the thumb. Now, you can't do a whole lot without thumbs, right? You can do something. I mean, you can slap people a little bit, but it doesn't hurt very much. But if you have five officers working together as a hand, you can close it tight as a fist against the world, the flesh, and the devil, the three enemies of the spiritual life. So the Presidium officers need to work together, God willing, with their spiritual director if they have a thumb, if they have one. How many of you have a spiritual director in your Presidium that attends regularly? How many don't? Okay. So about half of you are without your thumb. Now I'm going to address a little bit of how to deal with that, and there are ways to compensate for that. A lot more falls to the president of preparing better allocutios and really reading the handbook, being very knowledgeable, and reading some of the other great Legion works like Talks to Legionaries by Canon Ripley and a few other books that can help give you ideas on how to give excellent allocutios if you don't have a spiritual director. Oftentimes the spiritual director would be, sometimes it's the pastor himself, sometimes he'll assign an associate, but sometimes though it could be a deacon. A lot of times we forget about that our permanent deacons oftentimes make wonderful spiritual directors or religious sisters. There's quite a few religious sisters in not only our diocese, but throughout the United States that are the spiritual directresses of a Presidium. So we do and should keep that in mind. oftentimes the seminarians that are assigned to the parish can be very helpful. Even if, let's say, if you don't have a spiritual director, they could become a temporary director of the Presidium for the summer. They could be appointed by the pastor as a temporary director, and that can help as well. So remember that the Presidium officers need to work together as a team. Remember what the word team stands for. You've heard of that, T-E-A-M. Who knows what that stands for? Together. Together, everyone achieves more. I'm sure you've heard about that. That's where teamwork can come into play. That if we work together as a team, we can achieve a great deal more. There's a story by Zig Ziglar. Some of you might have heard this story years ago. He talked about the Belgian horse. The Belgian horse can pull about 8,000 pounds. But when two of the horses are harnessed together and trained to pull together, guess how much they can pull? 32,000 pounds. This is amazing. Individually, 8,000, together, 32. And so that's a principle for officers. If you're all going in your own directions, pulling each other in opposite directions, you won't be able to achieve more for the kingdom of God. If you work together, pull the Presidium in the same direction, that goes for husbands and wives, and that goes for pastors and associates, and it goes for really anybody in the workplace. If you work together, you can achieve so much more. So it is a great honor, it's a great privilege to be an officer, and you can expect special graces for being an officer. The health of the Presidium, the handbook says, is determined by the level of the knowledge of the officers. The health of the Presidium is determined by the officership. There's a quote in the handbook which said, from Napoleon. He said, it's the only time Napoleon is quoted in the handbook. As you know, he's a great enemy of the church, terrible enemy of the church. But he did say, there are no bad soldiers, only bad officers. And I think that's an important lesson, that the health of the Presidium is determined by the attitude, the spirit, and the hard work of the officers. Now, some of the qualities that an officer should be known for is, number one, the officer should be known for his or her incredible devotion to the Blessed Mother. Okay, the officers have to set a headline in their own spiritual life for incredible devotion to Our Lady and love for Christ. Love for Christ in the poor, love for Christ in the Eucharist, and love for Christ in each other. So the first hallmark of an officer is his or her devotion to Our Lady and love for Christ. An officer should be practicing the true devotion to Mary. How many of you have made the consecration to Our Lady by the 33-day preparation? Can I see a show of hands? Okay, good. So about half of you. That means about the rest of half of you have a wonderful opportunity left in the future to be able to grow spiritually. So you should make the true devotion consecration. December 8th is a great day to do the consecration. If you want to do it on December 8th, start on November 5th. So officers should be known for their devotion to Our Lady and their love for Christ, especially in the Eucharist. And if you can practice the true devotion, if you haven't made the consecration, read the book, The True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort, and make the 33-day preparation. And pick a special saint's day, like the Assumption, Immaculate Conception, Annunciation, and as they say, pick a day and give yourself away. That's really what we should do. Second hallmark of a good officer is one who attends their higher council meeting. And that's very important to remember. If you notice in the duties of officers of Presidia, the first thing it says about every office, whether it be the president, the secretary, vice president, or treasurer, is that the first duty, it says, is to attend the meetings of the higher council. And that is your really most sacred duty as an officer, to attend the higher meeting. And not only to attend, but to participate, to listen, to make comments. As you know, in the handbook it says that every member of the council has to make an annual comment. Did you know that? You have to make your come at least once a year. You have to speak up at the meeting. Now, it would be much better if you made your comment at your Curie meeting or your committee meeting or your Regi meeting maybe at least 3 or 4 times a year. Wouldn't that be great? So participate in the council and attend the meetings. A third hallmark of the of an officer is that they is that an officer will understand that the he or she is actually running the legion in that parish on behalf of the regium. Now, oftentimes we don't think about that. We always think the presidium sends representatives to the curium or to the regium, but we should look at it a different way. That is true, but we should look at it a different way, that you are sent out as officers of the regia, members of the regia, members of your curium, to run the legion according to the proper spirit and system in that parish. The same thing goes with the regia officers. We are actually members of the concilium, and the concilium has us running the legion here in Virginia, trying to run it faithfully according to the legion spirit and system. So look upon it that way, that you are actually representatives of the regia or of your curium sent in your local parish to run the legion the way it should be. And then every month you report back to the curia or to the regia on how things are going. Fourth is that the officer really understands the legion spirit and system. Now, of course, the way to do that is by reading the legion handbook. So officers should read their legion handbook on a regular basis, read it through cover to cover at least once in your life. One priest I know says, read a page a day from the handbook. And when you make a holy hour, take your handbook with you before the Blessed Sacrament. Just read one page. It's filled with great spirituality, knowledge, and wisdom. So learn the legion spirit and the legion system, and that's found primarily in the legion handbook. Fifth, every officer should one time during the lifetime go on PPC, go on Peregrinatio Pro Christo. At least one time in your life, every officer should become a missionary in that way. How many of you have been on PPC at least once in your life? Okay, about 10 out of 40 or 50. So that's good. That means that there's a lot more opportunity for some of you yet to go on PPC. I'm sure the Regia will look forward to having you go someday. As you know, for those of you who are new in the Legion, PPC is a Peregrinatio Pro Christo. It means adventuring for Christ. It's when you go away for a week, sometimes 2 weeks, to another country or to another state, such as Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and you go and spend a week doing door-to-door evangelization on behalf of the Catholic faith and the Legion. And it's a life-changing experience. Those of you who have been on PPC know what a tremendous thing that is to be on Peregrinatio. So every officer should go on PPC and try to live the fullness of the Legion life. Number six would be, part of that fullness would be, number six, Praetorian membership. And again, those of you who are new to the Legion might not have heard that word. A Praetorian member is an active member who, besides going to the weekly meeting and does the weekly assignment, also attends daily Mass and Holy Communion at least 5-6 times a week and prays some form of the divine office. It could be morning and evening prayer or some other office approved by the Church. And obviously, they say the rosary every day as well. So that's a Praetorian member. Now, if we want our regular members to be Praetorians, it's important that the officers consider undertaking Praetorian membership. I would really highly recommend that if you have an opportunity. Number seven, the officers should try to bring about the fullness of the Legion in their parish by trying to establish junior presidia, which are for kids around ages 8 and above, and intermediate presidia, which is typically around the high school age and above. Really, the Legion, we can't really say the Legion is firmly established in the parish until you really have a senior presidium, junior presidium, intermediate presidium, and patrician. So those are all things necessary. And I would also recommend, under this number 7, not only try to start juniors, intermediates, but also try to get a patrician's group started as well, because then you'll be able to have the fullness of the legion in your parish. Number 8 is that an officer of the presidium should be reading Maria Legionis and subscribe to the Maria Legionis, the Legion magazine. Some of you that are new to Legion might not have seen a copy of it yet, but it really keeps the Legion handbook up to date. As you know, the Legion handbook is constantly being revised. When it first started out back in the 1930s, the first handbook was written about 1929 or so, 1930. It was a little tiny pamphlet. And then in the 40s, it got to be a booklet. In the 50s, it got to be a hardbound book. And now, of course, it's 370 pages. But the Legion Handbook can't keep up with all the new works that are being done throughout the world, because it only gets revised about every 10 years or so. So the way to stay up to date with in the Legion is by reading the Legion magazine, because that tells you what kind of works are being done, where it's being done throughout the world, and gives a lot of excellent articles about the Legion spirit and system. There's another thing would be number 9 would be to help in your curia or the regio with the 3 works that are done by the officers of those councils, and that would be visitation, extension, and organization. Visitation, of course, is going out to visit other presidia to see how they're being run and to encourage them. And when you do make a visitation, it should be a very positive, uplifting visit to give good advice and instruction and encouragement, and also to meet privately with the officers to maybe, if they have some things to ask about, if they have any problems that they want you to help answer them. So visitation. Extension is going out and starting new presidia and in other parishes. And then organization is oftentimes staying with that group for 3 months or 6 months and organizing it until it gets its feet on the ground. So realize that an officer should help out, and don't leave it up to the regio officers or the curia officers to do all the visitation, extension, and organization, but to help them out as best you can. And lastly, number 10, make sure that you see the Legion as your vocation. Make sure you see the Legion as your way of life, the spiritual life. There are many beautiful ways of spirituality in the church. Some have a Franciscan, some have a Carmelite, some have a Benedictine or Dominican spirituality. Well, the Legion spirituality is really the Montfortian spirituality, based on the writings of St. Louis de Montfort. And so the Legion, you don't have to be in some other organization to get your spirituality, even though these other things I mentioned are very good, but the Legion can afford you the spiritual life that you're looking for if you're willing to delve into it. The Legion is a vocation, it is a way of life for men and women living in the world. And it is true that people like Frank Duff, he was a Third Order Carmelite, which is a wonderful thing, and many of the other saints belong to other movements in the church, and these are very good things. But also keep in mind that the Legion itself is a system and an organization and a way of life that can make a person a saint. And we know this because Frank Duff, Fidel Quinn, Alfie Lamb are all up for beatification right now. And so we've seen that if somebody lives the Legion system and way of life, that they can become a great saint in the church. Those are the 10 10 principles or 10 ideas of officership. And let me just end, as you know, we're going to go a little bit longer, but my talk's not going to be till 11:30, obviously, because my talk is a 20-minute, half-hour talk. But the rest of the time will be spent in discussion and comments, almost like patrician style, as we have at a Congress. But Let me just end by going through the section on page 209 in the handbook. And I just want to make a couple comments about each of the officerships, because I think it's important to highlight the main duties of the officers. And notice, the first officer in the presidium is the spiritual director. And it says the spiritual director, it's upon him that it primarily falls the duty of inspiring the members with the qualities that they need, especially their spirituality. It says that not only will he and should attend the meetings, but he should be sure that the rules are kept and that the Legion spirit is carried out in both the spirit and the letter. And it says that if a spiritual director uses the Legion well, it can be the very possibilities of his parish. It can promote incredible things within his parish. And it says that he should encourage them to do challenging work, and it would be an unfortunate occasion if there were a group of men and women that wanted to do great things for God but were being held back by the spiritual director. So we have to pray, and I would especially recommend that you pray for priests, pray for Legion spiritual directors, that they will truly live out their vocation as spiritual directors. Because one of the things they're called to do is to inspire their members and fill them with an intense love of Our Lady and of Christ. Now, the president, the duties of the president, of course, the first one is always to attend the meetings of the higher council. But the president is the one who conducts the meeting, obviously, and allocates the work. And it's the duty of the president, also, it says in number 3, to make sure that the room is ready with proper light and heat and seats, that the meeting can start on time. Now, the reason why I'm going through this with all of you who, I mean, how many of you are presidents? Raise your hand. Okay, raise your hand if you're a vice president. Secretary? Treasurer. Treasurer, okay, very good. See, it's hard. If you notice how many duties a president has, there's a lot of things. It goes on for like 4 pages. There's 20 things mentioned in the duty as president. Now, if you look under vice president, there's 11 things. Secretary, there's 6 points. And treasurer, there's 5 points. Now, the reason why I mention that is because the president is going to need some assistance in these things, like getting the room ready. So just don't leave it up to the president to get there early and set up everything. It's important that you help out. Get there 5 or 10 minutes early if you're a treasurer, secretary, vice president, and help out the poor president to do all this, to do all the work. The president will begin the meeting on time and make sure that the catena is said about halfway through the meeting, and that the meeting shall end on time and not go beyond the 1.5 hour limit. And it says if the spiritual director is not there, the president should give the allocutio or have assigned somebody else to give it. But don't just do it on the spot. Don't just say, well, give an allocutio. Give him at least a week's notice. If you know that the priest is not going to be there, get somebody to give the allocutio the following week. Okay, so give them at least a week to prepare it. Don't just put somebody on the spot. It's also important when you give the allocutio as a president or someone else, not just to read something from an article or from a book, and because that doesn't count as an allocutio. You can use notes and you can draw some quotes out, but it should be in your own words. That's important to remember. Allocutio should be in your own words. There was one presidium I remember. They were playing a part of a tape every week. Happened to be my tape, but I still told them they shouldn't do that, obviously, because what that does, or if they just read an article, just word for word, that deprives the president of preparing and meditating and praying and thinking about what he or she would say. So it's much better to have listened to, let's say, a tape during the week, take some notes, and then give it to the people in your own words. A president says should also be on the alert for members who can be recommended to the higher council to be an officer or to help out with extension, visitation, or organizations. The president should make sure that there's a high level of spirituality and zeal in among the members. The president should make sure that the members speak loudly and clearly. It says he must himself speak in a voice which will ring throughout the room. If the president is speaking too low, then the members will speak even lower. That's why the president has to speak nice and loud so that everybody else will speak loudly. The president has to make sure everybody gives an adequate report, and that, this is interesting, the president should speak as little as possible. That's something to remember. Not to speak too much, not to speak too little. He must also promote the spirit of fraternity in the Presidium and to make sure the work is being done in the right spirit, along the right lines, etc. In number 16 it says, the faults of a Presidium are usually the faults of a president. So, but of course that means, though, that the good qualities of the Presidium are usually the good qualities of the president. So if you have a good, solid Presidium, then that means you have a good president and good officers. The vice president, on page 216, again, the first duty of the vice president is to attend the meetings of the higher council, and that the president's not there, the vice president runs the meeting. So the vice president is what's called the handshaker of the legion. You are the PR person for the legion, the public relations person. Your job as vice president is membership, active and auxiliary membership. So when somebody comes in as a guest, you welcome them, you're the first one over to greet them, you give them a handbook, you give them a tesserum, explain what the meeting will be like, and give them as much information as possible. Make them feel welcome. Vice president has to be, if you have somebody in your presidium that's just very personable and very outgoing, that's a good person for a vice president. It says the president is, as it says, like the commander-in-chief, and it says this is a good point here. The correct view is that the vice president should cooperate intimately with the presidential action. The pair should be in relation to the presidium much as the father and mother are to a home. So the president is like the father, the vice president like the mother. And the presidium is the family. It says, or as the commander-in-chief and the chief of staff are to an army. Think of how they would work so closely together. The vice president supplements the president and helps to supervise the innumerable things which are outside the attention of the president. Let's say you have somebody new at the meeting that they come, and the president who's running the meeting can't always, you know, go over and give the handbook or the tessera to the guest and let them know also about confidentiality. A lot of times when people come to a meeting, they don't realize that some of the reports that they hear will be, you know, of a sensitive nature, so they should be instructed by the vice president to keep those things confidential, and that the members should say the Catena every day and be informed of the duties of membership. It also says the vice president should make sure that the auxiliaries are visited at the end of their period of probation, and that when somebody is 3 months in the Legion, that their promise should be taken after 3 months. So that's the job of the vice president, to keep an eye on the roll book. And when somebody's been coming for 3 months and done 12 meetings and 12 assignments, then they're eligible to take the promise. Now, if somebody's hesitant to take the promise for whatever reason, you're allowed to give them 3 more months to pray and think about it. But it says after that second period of 3 months, then that person, which is a total of 6 months, has to make the promise or they would not be able to remain as a member of the Legion. So that's something that the vice president has to keep an eye on, because sometimes people might be coming to meetings for a long time, 6 months, 9 months, and they've still never taken the promise. Well, it's the job of the vice president to make sure that they take the promise after 3 months or after 6 months. It also says in number 8, that if the vice president sees somebody missing meetings, that the vice president will maybe call them or visit them to encourage them in their membership. It says there sometimes people will miss meetings because of accidental or external circumstances. It says the special care of a kindly vice president would preserve their membership. Be it remembered that the keeping of a member is more important to the Legion than the gaining of a new one. Isn't that interesting? And then number 10, it says, he shall visit the sick members or secure that they are visited by others. So remember, vice president is the people person, the membership person. Now, a couple comments about the secretary. The secretary is the permanent record keeper of the presidium. The president worksheets are not a permanent record of your presidium. You don't have to save, even though we usually do, president worksheets. Those can be written in pencil or pen. It doesn't really matter. A lot of presidents use pencil because they can erase things and things. However, the secretary's permanent records have to be typed or written in ink because those are a permanent record, and you always save minutes of a presidium. For 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, you save those because those are the permanent record of the presidium. I've been to some meetings where the president seems to be writing more down than the secretary, and that's not the way it should be. The president should have a nice worksheet that he or she prepares ahead of time and then make some comments or some notes on there, but the main job of the secretary is to take the permanent record, and that will last for many, many decades into the future. It also says that the secretary should speak in loud voice as well, and that the secretary is responsible for correspondence of the presidium. If you have to do writing of letters for whatever reason, that's the secretary's job. And lastly, the treasurer. Again, the first duty is to attend the meetings of the curia or the regia, as the case may be, and that it's the job of the treasurer to pass the secret bag after the allocutia. A lot of times when people are new, they don't know when to pass the secret bag, and that's one of the things that always annoys me when I'm giving my allocutia and everybody's fumbling for their change during the middle of that. So always, your clue is the sign of the cross, right? Because at the after the allocutia, you make the sign of the cross, then you pass the bag, okay? So, and then it's the job of the treasurer to keep accurate accounts of the finances, and that when you order things, as a presidium officer, you make sure you bring that up to the president and to the other members of the presidium, because you don't want to necessarily order things of your own. Remember, it's the presidium's money, and that you do need to clear that with the whole presidium. Now, what's interesting is that out of all the officership positions, secretary, vice president, president and treasurer, the only position Our Lady ever held was a treasurer. Take a look in the footnote. Mary is the treasurer, right? But look at the second one. Mary is the treasurer whose treasure is Jesus Christ. It is He Himself whom she possesses, He Himself whom she gives. It talks about how she is a treasurer of God's graces to the world. So if you're a treasurer, you can have a special relationship with our Blessed Mother, okay? Because that's the only position, in a sense, that she ever held. So what I would encourage you to do is to try to incorporate in your life more of a commitment. Obviously, all of you are very committed. All of you are wonderful officers, very dedicated officers. And yet we can always be challenged and encouraged to do a little extra for our Lord and the Blessed Mother. Try to develop that Legion mind, that Legion heart, and that Legion life. And by developing that Legion mind, we mean by reading the handbook, reading a page a day, by learning more about the spirituality and knowledge that can come to us from the Legion, developing that Legion heart, living out the true devotion, and trying to grow in our love for Christ and the mystical body and Mary and her motherhood of souls, and then by leading that legion life, which is primarily, you know, leading a life of total union with Our Lady. As you know, the true devotion means that not only do we consecrate everything to Our Lady, but we try to live in union with the Blessed Mother, to think with her thoughts, to love with her heart, to speak with her words, to try to become a living copy of the Blessed Mother. As you know, we're called the Legion of Mary. And a legion in the Roman days was 6,000 troops, and they all worked as one under the emperor. So we, of course, are called to become living copies of the Blessed Mother. So we're not legions of Mary, we're a legion of Mary, which means that we're one, we're united, and that we're called to be one with our Lord and the Blessed Mother, one in mind, one in heart, one in spirit. So the health of the Presidium is based upon the health of the officers, and as I mentioned, all of you are very dedicated, very committed officers in the Legion. And we should do our best to try to increase that to the best we can, and to try to do great things for God and for the salvation of souls. God bless you. Okay, and that leaves some time for some comments and discussion and questions. Yeah.
I'm interested in your thoughts and anyone else's thoughts about periodic destiny efforts of officers in the system, and your thoughts on that, and what specifically
we do. That's called an officers meeting. How many of you have officers meeting of your, and how often do you do that?
2 months.
Every 2 months? Wow, that's impressive. You should do it at least once a year, have an officer's meeting, but I would recommend at least every 6 months, and of course even more frequently if you want to, if you find it helpful. And what you would do at that meeting is to get the four officers together and to discuss things like how are the meetings going, what can you do for recruiting more members, what can you do for increase of auxiliary members, and what kind of works could be done. What else do you discuss at your officers' meeting? Problems, yeah, problems, difficulties, challenges, how to get the priest to come to the meeting. Excellent, to discuss the health of the Presidium. It's like a doctor's review, just like you go for a medical checkup on a regular basis, so you do a Presidium checkup.
We also had a meeting, we only had one, but we could have more, of the officers of all three Presidia at the parish, the Spanish Presidia and the Union Presidia. And it was good.
I would also recommend that, Mary's point is excellent. If you have more than one Presidium in your parish, then it's a good idea to get the officers of those two Presidia to get together at least once a year or twice a year. I know we did that in Fredericksburg a couple times, and it was very interesting because you have a daytime group, we had a Monday morning group, a Wednesday morning group, and maybe a Tuesday night group, and a junior group of about four Presidium. And when you get the officers together, you get to know each other. A lot of people don't even realize the other person's in the Legion. You've been trying to, you see that person at Mass, but you might not even know that they're actual legionary. So that's a wonderful idea. If you have a daytime and an evening group, get all four officers or all eight officers together once a year or every 6 months. Yeah, the question is, what do you do about members that refuse officership? Well, you just put a guilt trip on them and you say, oh, you don't want extra graces? As if you have enough graces right now? That doesn't work. Okay, what do you do to inspire people to take an office? First, I would say, tell them the principle, never say no to Our Lady. That's a very important principle. And with the office comes extra graces and blessings from God. What else would you do to get somebody to be an officer? That's a very good point. You just don't give people an option. You just say,
right?
Well, you know, like my priest friend from Christendom, now he's a priest in Peoria Diocese. He went back home to Michigan as Father John Barrier. What happened was he was at Christendom College with us. He went back to Michigan to work, and he joined the Legion. And he had been the first guest they had at the meeting in 7 years. All the members were in their 70s and 80s. And when he walked in with his Legion handbook, he looked like a knight in shining armor. And before the end of the meeting, he was a new president of that Presidium.
These circumstances whereby the person just cannot, you know, make a signed commitment that would be quality, you know, given quality.
That's true. Some people do have certain commitments on Sundays, so they are unable to go to a curie meeting or a regi meeting, so sometimes people just are unable to do that. And because, for example, if you have somebody that says, well, I can take the minutes, but I can never go to the curie meeting, they, of course, could not be an officer. They have to be able to go to the monthly higher council meeting.
I think they're more apt to take that position.
That's true. It's called the master and apprentice system. Yeah, just like when you go door to door for the first time, you go with somebody that's done that before, and they can teach you. So you couldn't take somebody under your wing and explain the job to them and assist them and help them along.
Market the good, lay down the negative, and try to think about who in the Presidium might best fit that position.
Yeah, and pick people that have a good attitude, a good spirit, because they do set the tone for the whole Presidium. And even if they don't, let's say, do the job quite as well, it's better to get somebody with a good spirit and a good attitude in there, because they can always learn, I think, the practicalities of it. Also, one of the benefits of being an officer, let's say, in a curia, is that you do get to meet people from other parishes in your area, and that's a wonderful blessing. The Legion promise or the True Devotion consecration?
True Devotion consecration. Okay.
Yeah, because oftentimes we refer to the Legion promise, and that's what we make after 3 months or 6 months in the Legion. The True Devotion consecration, that could be anybody can make that. Any Catholic, and every Catholic should make that consecration. It's a renewal of their baptismal vows, which their parents or godparents made on their behalf when they were infants. But now as adults, they make the consecration to Jesus through Mary themselves. So they reject Satan, they profess their faith in God, and they promise to renew their baptismal vows and promises when they make the consecration. The consecration, just in the shortest possible summary, I would say, would be when we consecrate ourselves, we place ourselves totally into the hands of the Blessed Mother, who then gives us to Jesus. We give our past, our present, our future. So it's a total consecration, total commitment, which is nothing more than Christ did himself when he entered the womb of the Blessed Virgin. Jesus gave himself completely to Mary. Therefore, we're just imitating Jesus. We give ourselves completely to Mary. She then fashions and forms and molds us into the image and likeness of her Son, Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit. After you make the consecration, the second part is living in dependence and trust on Our Lady and Our Lord. And that's really summing up the consecration.
Running around and people being split, and that's the extension that they're trying to work
on. That's a wonderful idea. It does sometimes help to have two Presidia going at the same time. In my parish, we have two junior groups, but they both meet Tuesday afternoons at 4 o'clock, from 4 to 5:30, and we don't have any facility, so we have to meet in people's homes. So one meets in the basement downstairs, the other one meets upstairs around the kitchen table, which works out very well. So the parents, they drop off their, let's say, four kids in one family. Two are younger, two are older. Two are at the junior meeting, two are at the intermediate meeting. And I get to both meetings, so I can spend half the time in one group and go upstairs to the kitchen table and spend the other half. Now, that's not ideal to have meetings in people's homes, it's only allowed if there's no other place to have it. But we, since we don't have a property or facility, we have to have meetings in people's homes. But having them at the same time is a wonderful idea. Well, and if that does materialize, please keep in mind your willingness to volunteer even once or twice just to go to help with extension or organization or recruiting.
I don't know where I can contact.
I think we talked about that. We reviewed that, whether the Magnificat counts as a divine office. And I think we said it doesn't because it's not sufficient enough. It leaves out a whole lot of things. It's a very good thing to pray, and everybody should be. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to pray. But from my understanding, I don't think it qualifies for adjutorian or praetorian membership. What we should do is get in the shorter Christian prayer that we have at the Regia, right, Brother Dennis?
Yes, Father.
The shorter Christian prayer has morning and evening prayer, and it's not expensive, and they can learn it rather easily.